This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. You are listening to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Also, who's Green Bay going to take on Thursday night? We cover with the Green Bay Football Draft Show presented by Steam Theaters Local 601, starting Thursday night at 6 with Charlie Usen and Tommy Wirtz on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan, and on the free Odyssey app right now. Super excited to be talking to Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan. You can find him on social media at FBallGamePlan. We are going to talk to him about all things NFL draft. Emory, it is great to be chatting with you. How the heck are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
I appreciate you taking the time. I know this is a very busy time for you and pretty much everyone else in the NFL sphere, so I appreciate that a ton. As we just kind of kick things off, with this draft week, what are you just most excited about? This is obviously a wonderful time of year. What gets you most geeked up about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and what are you most looking forward to watching?
Well, just seeing where all of these players go, you put all the effort and time into grading these players and, you know, evaluating these guys. Like I've said before, I've gone to all 8 All-Star games during the cycle, and so it's been cool to see all the work that you put in go into where these guys are going to end up playing their careers, and also the undrafted rookie free agents, which we know ends up playing a big role. So I'm just excited to see where it all plays out and how it all plays out and where these guys end up going, guys that you've pretty much watched for at least 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's a super exciting aspect. One of my favorite things, because obviously the draft comes and goes in the blink of an eye, is just getting to the end of the draft, you know, sometimes Sunday or maybe early next week, of just going through each of the teams and seeing who they selected or where each of these players actually ended up, and thinking about some of the scheme fits for some of these players. Because as much as we love these players, sometimes so much where they go and what sort of situation they're going to be put in is as important, if not more important, than even some of the stuff, you know, that they obviously did in college. So getting to see some of those, you know, kind of matchups of how they kind of click in the system that they're going to be going to is a really fun aspect of this for me as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. At the end of the day, it's really about, you know, where these guys fit, and it's just a piece of the puzzle. And I just think we got to do a better job as media preparing fans for the draft being bigger than round one, you know. And I know they spend 2 to 3 months talking about first round mocks and reorganizing mocks, and at the end of the day, you know, if you zoom out a little bit, one, the answer may already be on a roster if a team doesn't take a position that you've been fixated on for 3 months. And also, the draft is bigger than the first round. There's still ample opportunity to get good players outside of day one.
And how often, I mean, especially from a Packers standpoint, I mean, the odds that the first pick that they take is actually the best one out of their draft class has actually been pretty slim. It's usually somebody like an Edgerrin Cooper last year, Devontae Adams in years past, or like a lot of these times it's players that didn't actually get taken in the first round that end up being the best player in the draft. So like you said, we get so fixated on the first round pick and put so much pressure and expectations on that player. But more often than not, it's actually somebody else from the class that ends up being the best player in the class. So I'm right there with you. As you look at this 2025 NFL draft class on the whole, what is your feel for this class? There's some maybe thoughts of like, hey, this is a starter draft, not a star draft. Maybe doesn't have the, you know, outside of maybe the top three in Cam Ward and, you know, obviously Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, maybe doesn't have the star power at the top. It sounds like it's a deep draft. How do you view this overall draft class?
Because I grade so many players each and every year, like this season, my largest draft guy, I break the record every year, right? So this year I have over 1,200 individual scouting reports in my draft guide. And so, for me, it's always a deep class, just by the sheer numbers of the amount of people that's playing college football. So I always go into it thinking that you get starters in round 7. So I never take the laissez-faire approach of saying, oh, this is a deep, it's not a deep class. It's just, because think about it. We've watched, let's say, someone like Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. I feel like if they came out last year, they would have been top 5 picks, because if I had my grades, you know, with both classes, it would have gone Caleb Williams, Shedeur Sanders, Jaden Daniels, Cam Ward. These are two really good quarterbacks. And you got Travis Hunter, you got Abdul Carter. Yeah, you got the star power. I think that star power in this class. But you got some really good football players top to bottom. And just by the sheer nature of the, let's say we're still feeling the effects of the COVID years and all of these guys transferring and having these ghost years of eligibility, you get a veteran class. You get guys that can play football right away. Yeah, they may be 24 and in some cases 25 years old, but you're getting guys that can come in, help your football team. So I say top to bottom, each position is a deep class, as I say every year.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm right there with you. Brian Gutekunst talked a little bit about that yesterday, too, with some of these older players in this class of how they have more players on their board than he's used to. He said, usually I like to narrow it down. It's just been tougher to narrow down because there's players that deserve to be up on the board. And, you know, when you get to sixth, seventh round undrafted free agency, there's probably going to be more options this year than there have been in the past. We're being joined by Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan. You can find him on social media at FBall Game Plan. One of the key positions I wanted to talk to you today about, Emory, was the corners in this draft. Green Bay is the team that certainly could theoretically go corner at 23, if not there, you know, probably second or third round. Who are some of the corners in this draft that you maybe really like, and how do you view the cornerback class in this draft?
Well, obviously, we talk about ad nauseum, you know, Travis Hunter. I think he could play corner as well, starting on both sides of the ball. But if you're going outside of him, you know, I think people forget how good Will Johnson is as a corner out of Michigan. Someone that does a good job with his read and react skills, fantastic ball skills and instincts. Yeah, there's some speed questions and explosiveness questions, but at the end of the day, he's a good overall football player. This particular guy, no one's talking enough about, but I'm a big fan of, based on what I've seen from this program since Greg Schiano has come back. Rutgers has produced some fantastic defensive backs since Schiano has returned back to the program. You had Max Melton last year get drafted higher. Robert Longer being this season. He's 5'11", 175, terrific man-to-man corner, can play outside. Denzel Burke out of Ohio State, feel like he's been in college forever, but a really good player, as well as someone like Jahdae Barron out of Texas. And this is to our point. We're talking about someone like Darian Porter, 6'3", 195, ridiculous speed, 4'2 guy, perimeter run defender very well, but he's, for someone, he's, what, 24, 25 years old? So yep. This is along the lines of someone you're talking about that is an older player, but, man, he's so doggone good.
He is such a unique player. I mean, just an absolute alien. You're talking like 6'3", 6'4", obviously great wingspan, 4'3", or 4'2", 40, and then the agility testing just out of this world as well. 9.99 relative athletic score. Just an absolute freakazoid of a player in all the most complimentary ways possible. But like you said, I think 6 year senior, didn't really start until this last season, is a little bit on the older side. Like, just a very unique. I think he blocked 4 punts in his career. I think he blocked some kicks as well. Like, he is just a unbelievable, remarkable player, but like how teams view him, with maybe not having the productivity but having every trait imaginable that you're looking for. And man, he just engulfs players on the sidelines with his size. It is like the windows are so tight when you're going against him, just because he's got limbs for days, and of course all that makeup speed. Like, he is a really fun player to watch. Just not a lot of targets at him on tape in college, but very, very fun and tantalizing player.
Well, you speak about no targets, and that's why I feel like someone like Travis Hunter can play corner, because why are you throwing his way? You're literally throwing to a wide receiver. So someone like that helps you take away a half the field. And Shuvon Rovell out of East Carolina, had he been healthy, and I know that is doing a lot of heavy lifting, right, because he is coming off of an ACL injury, but had he been healthy, we're talking about potentially a top 12 pick in this class because of his size, his press skills, and his elite-level recovery speed and ball skill. So, you know, even there where Green Bay is picking, he's someone that could be potentially in play because, hey, you're banking on him coming back 100% healthy. Right now, you don't have to put him out there on the field. As a rookie, you can kind of let him slowly gain his health back and be ready to go in year two, but you have yourself a premier corner.
Well, speaking of Savon Revel, you mentioned him in a mock draft recently as somebody that you could see going to Green Bay at pick 23. I've seen his sort of, quote unquote draft stock all over the place, whether it be, you know, mid to late first round. I've even seen some, him go kind of later in the second round from time to time. But, how would he fit in Green Bay? And I know you obviously mentioned the injury, but what are some of the key traits that, you know, he would be able to bring to the Packers, assuming that he does get healthy sooner rather than later?
one, he finds the ball, and he has great spatial awareness. It's funny because, you know, watching him play, and it's impossible for defensive backs to try to cover these crossing routes. But he's running in the hip pocket with the receiver across the field. So he covers so much ground because he's so tall. And the spatial awareness is key because a lot of guys don't have the ability to understand where they are in conjunction to the sideline or where their help defender is. So he has a great conceptual understanding of scheme and also just, you know, football. And that's why he's able to make plays on so many passes. And so when you combine all of those traits in a 6'2", 194-pound frame, you're getting someone that does a great job at just playing the position how you kind of teach it.
He's a really fun player. I'm going to be really interested to see where he ends up, and obviously even more interested if he ends up in Green Bay, but very fun player and would have went probably a lot sooner had he not had the injuries this past season. We're, again, talking to Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan. Find him on FBall Game Plan on social media. As we look at this draft, Emory, if you know, last year we had the Michael Penix pick that kind of took us a little bit by surprise. There's always something that surprises us through the course, especially the first round of the draft. But there's a surprise coming on Thursday. What could you see that being, and what would you know, maybe something that we should be a little bit more prepared for?
If Cleveland takes Shedeur Sanders at two, because logic just tells you, if as they're on the clock, and they're looking up at their depth chart, and it says Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. How can one try to game the draft to say, well, we can get a good position player here and then try to trade up? Well, who are you going to trade up with? Because if you pass, now you got to convince somebody to leave the first round and take your top two pick of the second round. It's hard for me. Like, the reason why Houston was able to do it, when they went back-to-back picks, you know, getting the quarterback in the top pass rusher in Will Anderson, is because that second pick they had was a low first-round pick. So you can convince somebody to fall from 3 to, you know, 12 or something like that. It's going to be hard to convince somebody to go from a top 10 pick to pick 33. So for me, it's just I maybe I'm thinking about this too logically, that you need a quarterback. And I know they love in Cleveland to romanticize Joe Flacco's last season there, but I remember the 6 interceptions he threw in the playoffs, you know, against the Houston Texans. So for me, yep, it's like you need a quarterback in a division that has Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and whatever Pittsburgh is trying to do, because that's the other team you got to worry about. So them taking Shedeur at 2 wouldn't be a surprise to me, because it would actually be exactly what they need.
You are not overthinking it, but we're talking about the Cleveland Browns, and trying to, you know, put common sense on a Cleveland Browns selection is maybe not always the wisest of moves. But no, I know exactly what you mean. Like, you're not going to be able to find a quarterback at their, you know, position later in the draft. You're going to have to probably give up a ton of capital to move up if you can find that opportunity to move up. And even if you can, there's no guarantee that Shedeur Sanders doesn't go earlier than where you can, you know, get back up to in the draft. So, I get Travis Hunter's very tantalizing. I get Abdul Carter's very tantalizing. They're both fantastic players, arguably the two best players in the draft. But quarterback's just a slightly, you know, important position to have on your team, and going into the season with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and a quarterback that maybe isn't quite NFL ready, that's taken in the second through seventh rounds, is probably not preparing you as much for success as maybe a Shedeur Sanders was. So no, I agree with you in totality, but it's going to be interesting to see what Cleveland actually does in this draft. Emory, one of the fun parts of the entire process is, of course, having our guys that we really, really like, and then kind of keeping track of those guys. Who are some of the Emory Hunt guys in this draft that you really, really like?
Man, there's a bunch. But I will say this. I am a big fan of Lane Larison, the running back out of UC Davis. I just love his versatile skill set. Nearly had 1,000 this year. He had over 1,200 yards rushing. And nearly had 1,000 yards receiving as well. And this is someone that can do it on both ends of offense. Big fan of what he does. Elijah Williams, the defensive tackle out of Morgan State, was someone that I've been on the broadcast for virtually his whole career, at least the home games. We call a lot of Morgan State games. And I watched him break the sack record. And I feel like this guy, and I've watched him play from the 9 technique to the nose, and he's been dominant at every stop. And it's crazy. I remember one game in particular against Norfolk State. It was one drive, a crucial drive in the game in the fourth quarter. He made the play on first down. He got a TFL. Second down, he got the quarterback hurry and the pass breakup by batting the ball at the line of scrimmage. And third down, he got sacked. It's like that was his drive. It was crazy. And he did it from three different techniques. So that's another guy. And that cornerback, I'm a big fan of Carlin Biggers out of UL Monroe. I watched him play. I watched him dominate at the Hula Bowl. Then you go back and watch his film, him do a great job against Texas, against their receivers. And we know how talented that trio they had there. He did a 6'1", 205 pounds, jumped 38 inches on the vertical, 10'7" on a broad jump. So he's a terrific athlete. And at the University of Louisiana, Raging Cajun program, you have a good guard in A.J. Gilley. And keep in mind, this is a program that not only produced fantastic football analysts, but they also produced very good offensive linemen. You go back to Kevin Dotson, you go back to Max Mitchell, before he transferred, Osiris Torrance, Robert Hunt. And A.J. Gilley is someone that is going under the radar, but when you watch the tape, he's consistently dominant in every game that you watch him play. Go watch the game against Marshall. He had a nice physical discussion with Mike Green out there on the field.
Emory, I could probably ask you about, you know, 1,000 more players and talk to you for the final 20 minutes that we got here, but I know you're an incredibly busy man, and I just love all this stuff. I love the small school prospects. I love the sleepers. I love your guys, and we could go on about this forever, but I know, like I said, you're busy. I also know that you've got a great draft guide. I know you've got a lot going on with F-Ball Game Plan, so tell us all about F-Ball Game Plan and anything you got coming out through the course of this draft week.
Well, yeah, listen, they can go and get the draft guide right now, man. It has over 1,200 individual scouting reports. This year, we're excited because we added over 50 CFL draft prospects, and we know a lot of these guys end up spending training camp in the States, so it'd be good to get an idea of who those guys are. So we got that included. And if someone purchased my draft guide since 2020, right now they would have over 5,400 individual scouting reports at their fingertips. So you get a pretty good idea of what's in the NFL, CFL, UFL. We got you covered. So you can go pick up this year's edition at footballgameplan.com/2025draft guide. It's the best draft guide in the business, the largest draft guide in the business. And also you can see me all over CBS Sports HQ for days 2 and 3 and post-draft that Sunday this upcoming weekend.
Go check out the draft guide. It is well worth it. He does an incredible job breaking down all these prospects. Really quick, last thing. When do you start the 2026 draft process? Have you started looking at guys for 2026? You got 1,200 more guys to get to, Emory. When does it start?
Oh, it literally starts right after the draft. I start getting the outline of who is going to be in the class and kind of create the profile for the draft guy. You spend the summer kind of like working through some positions.
I love it. I can't wait for that as well. You do incredible work. I appreciate you taking the time today. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the draft. And yeah, like I said, we'll talk to you sometime after to catch up on everything. I appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, man, for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. That is Emory Hunt. Follow him at football or at F-Ball Game Plan, excuse me. And of course, check out that draft guide as well. It is well worth it, and I cannot recommend it enough. Make sure to give him a follow. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back right after this.